Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
This is Ellis.
And this is our weekly conversation about love, life, and relationships, episode 5. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for joining us on Facebook. I know I promised Instagram. It's coming. I'm slow.
It's coming.
So today's episode is inspired by my amazing co-host and partner, Ellis. Shallow love.
Shallow love, like shallow bill.
Shallow hell. Did you like that? Did you see that movie?
I loved it.
I did too.
I loved it.
But it's so fitting, because a lot of us, you know, we fall in love with the image, and then
yes.
You know, the image changes, and you know, is love still there? So I had come up with a subtitle, and the subtitle is "Grandma Stayed Married for 60 Years. What's Wrong with You?"
So,
all right. So, what inspired the show?
Well, two situations that occurred. Someone very close to me, him and his wife, had some challenges. She looked at his phone and saw some stuff, and so they went from you got to get out, and this is what I want, to her doing an assessment and taking responsibility for his wandering. Admitting to some things that, you know, that she did, and admitted to some things that occurred in their relationship. And as they were talking, I just began to say to him, yo, that's deep. That's deep. That's deep. That's a deep love. And someone else had shared with me, they'd been in a relationship 5 years and was very toxic, and how she was unwilling to move forward because she said he's the only person that has accepted her after she put on like 40 or 50 pounds in 5 years. And I was just thinking, hey, that's a shallow love. And I just think most of our love is more so shallow than deeply rooted.
Because most of us leave because of things that are intangible, yeah. Almost.
And you can work it out.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think we have been exposed to a deep love, because where do we see it? Where have we seen it? You know, our grandmothers, you know, well, not my grandmother, but grandmothers, my friend's parents have been married for 65 years. And that was just unbelievable. They've been married for 65 years.
Well, let's dissect it, though. I was in a conversation on Facebook over the weekend, and it was about just that. You know, people stay married. These people, you know, back then stay married, and we don't anymore. And a lot of times back then, people stayed married because they were tied financially. You know, the women weren't as financially independent as they are now. So you stayed. And it was one of those things like when, you know, your relationships were toxic. Like, you know, it's a joke in my family. You know, it's kind of sad but funny. But, you know, a lot of times we go to funerals and we get a new cousin. Because, you know, but it was common. It wasn't completely uncommon for the man to have a whole family two blocks away.
Right, right.
You know, and the grandma stayed. But today, we're not going to stay. That's not really shallow, I don't think. It's just we don't sacrifice happiness. You know, if something makes you unhappy, yeah.
You know, I read an obituary once upon a time, someone who passed away. And in the obituary, you know, it said, oh, he married the love of his life. And I just thought to myself, that's not true. Because, you know, as long as they were married, he always told me that he was in love with someone else. And he only stayed married for the sake of the kids, and that, you know, she wasn't in love with his life. Now, I get an obituary, that has to be the case. But again, it goes back to how many of us make sacrifices for the sake of our children, and we sacrifice our own happiness. And whether we stay or whether we go is always a challenge. But again, how deep is our love? You know, how deep can the love be that makes you want to hold on to something that's worth it versus when I'm starting something new.
So I am, when we talked about, you told me this topic was going to be Shallow Love. I just Googled. And so it's a song called Shallow Love by somebody named Jack and Jack. Yeah. So a couple, I'm just going to read a few of the lyrics. You know, it says, everywhere I go, I see love turn into something it is not. People caught up in the image when this shit's going to stop? Question. When he gets down on his knee and that question gets popped, she's like, yes, babe, eyes still locked at the rock. He's got bands. He wants a pretty lady who wants a Mercedes Benz so they can both show off to their friends. They're in the whip, they're in the penthouse, and they're in the jets of France. Damn, it seems that love's the only thing they ain't in. So that's just a little piece of it.
I love that.
I love that too. I love that.
That's so true. I think these trap rappers, these rappers who are talking about material things, it's all material. It's an inanimate object. And I don't think that's love.
So, and sometimes love can't, and I'm saying love with L-U-V. You know, it's not real, I think. But it can't sustain. If it can't sustain when the money get funny,
right,
it wasn't love.
Or when someone's feelings are hurt, you know, you do something, you hurt someone's feelings, it becomes bigger than what it is. If your love can't sustain that, it's not love.
Right.
And I don't think we practice how to resolve differences, how to resolve when someone's got a wandering eye, someone sets something out of the way, you know, how do you sustain that kind of love? If it's shallow, you can't make it.
Right. If it's true love, you get past, you can work through it.
You can work through it. Now, I will always ask, you know, what's the resolution?
Punch him in his eye. Then you keep moving.
Well, someone last night told me that she punched him in the eye while she was driving. And then at a stoplight, he began to punch her in the eye. She went downtown to tell the district attorney that I'm always hitting him. This is one time he hit me, we got drunk. So I don't know if punching in the eye is gonna work if a man will punch back.
I'm just playing. I don't advocate violence.
Not at all. But I just think that as I look at a lot of the relationships and throughout the world, how many, I was looking at the whole princess, what's it called, the dude over there in England, he's a prince, Prince William and whomever. And I'm like, their love doesn't look real. Mm. Now, the Obamas, their love looks deeply rooted.
Yeah.
But I don't see many, I saw Denzel and Paulette. And he was holding her hand. Mm-hmm. And he was walking, and he held her hand and let her go in front of him.
Because he loves her.
Oh my, that's
I want that. You want that, right?
Yes. Yeah. I also thought about this. I've never seen Denzel Washington kiss another woman in any of his movies.
Hey, I never thought about that. Never even looked at it.
I've never seen him kiss another woman. Out of all the movies he's played.
No sex scene?
No sex scene. None of that.
Wow.
None of that. And so it got me to thinking that his love is so deeply rooted with his wife that he's not going to put himself in a situation, even as an actor, to disturb what the union they've established.
That's amazing. I hadn't even thought about that. And he's one of my favorite actors.
And I just get thinking about it, like how, you know, he never does that.
He doesn't even act like.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Wow.
I saw an interview with him, and he had made a comment about her, and someone had took it as though, you know, he was being unfaithful, dishonest, and so he corrected it. He said, the comment I made, I learned from her. And so I would never make a comment in public that would be disrespecting to the woman who's the mother of my children to give y'all something to write about. He said, but furthermore, I'm not gonna put myself in a position, you know, even give that any kind of attention. He said, I'm not even gonna dress it again. And he didn't dress it again. But I was like, what a profound statement.
I love that.
It's like, I'm gonna dress it one time. Mm-hmm. But that's a deep love.
Yeah.
But I don't think we are, I don't think we are systematically conditioned to have a deep, loving relationship. Because social media, how fast the world is moving, everything is so temporary. So when things don't go our way, we're quick to pull up and pull out versus staying and, again, working through it, learning through it, and admitting, hey, I could have did this better. Hey, I could have did that better.
So do you think if people, if we started out our relationships, like a lot of times we meet people and we're all in, like yes, real quick. We're all in emotionally and, you know, we just the one, you know, just the one right now. Do you think if we spent more time being friends, like building the friendship, it gives you more, more of a willingness, if once you get to that level where you're married, that you're willing to, you know, we were friends before, so we know each other. So now we're willing to kind of work through these things.
I think the friendship is the foundation. Like, how can I be in a relationship with you and you not be my friend? My son said something to me, you know, last night, is a young lady he's interested in, and he said, well, you know, I'll just be her friend until she gets to college, and then, you know, I will marry her 5 years from now. He said, by that time, we'll be best friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're thinking about that already? And he was like, well, Dad, you always told me to make sure I'm friends with the person. So he's already planning, they're already planning to be friends,
yeah,
you know, that probably we're going to hook up in 5 years.
And I think that that makes sense. I mean, things could happen. I mean, yeah, I know, you know, we're a little bit older and, you know, but I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when I think about relationships that I've had, and I think I've shared before, I'm friends with all of the people I've been in relationships with except one, because I was their friend first. And so I can go back. You know, it didn't work for us. It worked. We were great friends. It didn't work for us in this more romantically linked situationship. But we can go back to being super cool friends because that's when we were. And I think when you're friends first, it may kind of stop you from some of the disrespect and stuff that happens once you're in those situations.
Yeah. Because I also think when you have a shallow love, it's easy to disrespect your partner when you disagree. You call the person out of their name. You know, you ain't this. You dumb. You stupid. But when you have a profound respect, because this is your friend, then you're not going to go those lengths to disrespect them in their viewpoint. Because hey, at the end of the day, we're friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we are quick. I just don't think we spend enough time getting to know a person. Yeah. I know I've been guilty of that numerous times. You know, think you got to move fast. You know, age is catching up. Mm-hmm. You could be with somebody for 25, 30 years and not even know who they are.
Yeah.
There's nothing like there's nothing like having a good friend in a relationship.
And taking your time. You know, that must be quite rewarding. You know, like where your son is, you know, to get to that you actually marry your best friend because you had time to be that person's friend.
I'm going to say how. I think when you take that kind of path, you're more likely to have a successful love because you are establishing, you know, you mentioned. So grandma stayed married for 60 some years. What you failed to mention is that granddad stayed married for 60 some years. You know, granddad stayed. So something was taking place in which the two of them were, you know, establishing some foundations, some roots, you know, soil and the roots of the tree wrapping around the soil that allowed them to sustain a love of, you know, how many grandchildren, how many children, how many years together. You gotta like somebody married for 60 some years. They gotta be your friend, right?
No. No, because it could be, as we talk, it could be circumstantial. We do things out of habit. We just used to
deal with it. You stay in a relationship with somebody for 60 years and not like them.
Alex, it ain't even gotta be. I mean, you just there. There are people who are just coexisting. Mm. I'll use my grandparents. And I'm guessing they love each other. I never heard my granddad say it until the day before he died. But they had a very, and it may not be unique. I thought it was kind of strange. Like, he worked in the morning, you know, she fixed his breakfast, made him coffee. They talked about some bills. He went to work, he came home. She made him coffee, fixed his dinner. He sat there and looked at TV and he smoked cigars. You know, he went to bed. They didn't sleep in the same room. They didn't sleep in the same room when I was born, you know, and he died when I was 20. So they didn't sleep in the same room in those years. And my mom will probably tell you they hadn't slept in the same room 10 years before that. But they stayed together. And that was like, you know, some conversations I had with my grandmother, you know, when he passed on. Yeah, she loved him, but it was just kind of like, we up in here. And maybe it was just kind of like that.
I stand correct.
And she was very, very religious. So, you know, divorce won't happen. That won't let be. You know, and what's she going to get divorced for? You know, she ain't getting married to nobody else. And he was comfortable.
I began writing another book, you know, Life After Divorce.
Okay.
And I was looking at statistics that over 55% of marriages end in divorce. And I was blown away. This went back to 2012. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Because it's easy to do. You know how I got a divorce? I Googled how to get a divorce. It cost $500, it may have cost $700 because we had kids. It would have been cheaper if we didn't have kids. Because we had already dealt with the property stuff. So you don't have to deal with that. So it's easy to get divorced. You fill out these papers online, get somebody to show up with you at court as your witness. Both people don't even have to go. My husband didn't have to come. I took my witness to court and they, you know, attest to that he and I didn't live together. We were divorced in 28 days.
What is the purpose of going through all the motions of getting married, committing to you, saying those stupid vows? And I shouldn't say stupid vows, but saying vows that you don't really know what they mean, and then you're not going to work through whatever differences. Now some marriages when they're supposed to be together in the first place, I get that. Some people were never supposed to be married, and of course, something totally different. But I'm talking about relationship marriages in which some blood, sweat, and tears have been placed inside. And all of a sudden now they were making just that easy. Because there was a time when marriage was a benefit. You know, to love somebody was such an honor. Oh, this is who I'm loving. This is my girl. This is my lady. You know, this is my man. But now it's what is happening?
Well, I'm glad you said benefit. Because now, when things are the way they are with the economy, the financial situations, sometimes people get married not for love, but for the benefit. As a matter of fact, right now, if somebody's listening and you got some good government benefits, I'm a single woman and I need the benefits. We can partner. We can partner on the I do. You know, so people do.
I got a homegirl, her and her husband separated for 10 years, and she made a comment. She's like, oh no. She says, oh no, there'll be no divorce because I'm on his health insurance.
Yeah, some people say. My parents became separated in 1974. And because of my dad was self-employed and my mom, you know, she worked in corporate, he needed to stay on her health insurance. So they didn't divorce until 1988.
Oh, wow.
You know, so.
See, now that goes back to a woman caring enough about a man as a father of their children to not do something shady like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That, to me, that's
love. That would be hurtful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That would just be kind of spiteful.
Now, I want to bring up my situation, but yeah, I'll keep moving.
Well, this is a good time to take a break. So give us a couple minutes and we'll be right back with Love Wins with Allison Benita.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
And we're back with Love Wins with Allison Benita. So we were about to, what were you about to say?
Well, I just realized that you were talking about, you know, when there's a separation between the two individuals and one still looks out for the other. You know, though we're not together, you could be, you know, if you're my friend or maybe the mother or father of my children, I'm still going to look out for your best interest. Because the bottom line is, if I love you, I love you. But then you got to get some revenge or be spiteful. That goes to say that your love wasn't deep initially in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think there's enough. To come for your ex after the fact, I just think it's immature and shallow and very petty.
Yeah.
And I think that happens all the time on both sides. You know, it's just it's a level of pettiness that's almost scrupulous.
So before we started recording this podcast, we were having a conversation about Father's Day.
Oh, yes.
We just celebrated Father's Day, and we were talking about, you know, I was appalled when I went to a certain large home improvement store and it had a sign, you know, it was like, great gifts for dads, and it was potting soil. So I was just apologizing. I think I called Big P and on Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music podcast, apologized to him, I apologized to somebody else, and I just apologized to Alex. Because I think it's just bad that we put up a sign that basically said, give dad dirt for Father's Day. And for Mother's Day, you know, I mean,
I'm dad with this. Dirt because he ain't.
Yeah. You know, but, and you were sharing that if the mother doesn't make a big deal out of Father's Day, the children won't.
Right.
You know, which
right.
is true. And because I think sometimes of the pettiness, as mm-hmm. you just mentioned, that when relationships end, you know, we don't acknowledge or encourage our kids to acknowledge, you know, do something cool for your dad. I remember when I was growing up, we always went dress shopping for Mother's Day and my mother's birthday and Christmas, even though my parents weren't together any of the time, you know, that I remember. But we always bought her something really nice, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you have to be told to do that? Or just
reminded, you know, as a young child that these are those days, you right. know, because I didn't think about that. But like, but no, it's like once I knew, you know, this, I know my mother's birthday and I know Christmas because, you know, I had a 2-page list of things I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's Christmas and, you know, Mother's Day, I had to be reminded, second Sunday in May. No, but once I knew, I knew. And once I was old enough, you know, for somebody else to take me, my dad would just give me $100 and buy something for your mom. You know, mm-hmm. I would spend that right. on my mother. Because, you know, one thing about my dad, he didn't believe in cheap gifts. So, no, you couldn't buy a $15 dress. You know, I had to buy something nice.
Right.
And that's what he
right.
bought.
And I think that's a respect. Mm-hmm. Man, it's, I don't know if we are respecting those we laid down. If you laid down with someone and you bought for the child, after you get past the anger, disappointment, you have to move into a place of respect, of appreciating for the fact that you have a child here.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be the first to say, it took me a while to get through that process, but I can understand now how important it is for me to make sure that I am, for lack of a better word, resolve my differences so my children are not carrying that baggage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, like, when you said, I was stuck on, like, when you talked about, like, people that we've been intimate with, it is true. And, like, some people have said, but I feel this. It's like, once you're intimate with somebody, that person is a part of you, whether
yes.
you want to admit it or
yes.
not. I mean, it's some people that I'm mad at myself. That,
yes.
you know, this person is still a part of me. So, make good choices.
And the person said, when you have sex with someone, their spirit is with you forever. I was like,
I know. I need an exorcism.
Yes. And then I was watching The Shy. And when the kid said it, I began thinking, like, oh, my goodness. And I've been thinking about it ever since he said it. Because now I was thinking about all the people, you know, that I should not have been with.
Yeah.
But didn't know any better.
Yes. And
you're
a part of him.
Yes. 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 You know, and it's funny because I was trying to tell my son, I'm like, you don't have to go through a lot of women to find who the right one is. I said, you know when you counted love because it's just different. It's different than all other relationships. You find yourself thinking about her. You find yourself smiling. You find yourself missing. I said, then you got to do a measurement. Do the good times outweigh the bad? If the good times outweigh the bad, then it's worth holding on to. But if the bad outweighs the good,
so, you know, I told you before I was studying to be a life coach. And so I had kind of put together my own platform of, and, you know, it's a, what you call it when the letters stand for something?
Acronym.
And my V, you know, stood for evaluate, not evaluate, but evaluate. So in prior life, I was an accountant. So you put values on things.
Mm.
And so the evaluation is just what you said. The good is not the number of good times, but put a value on it, you know, because I mean, good times could be some shallow good times. Like, you know, we got drunk every Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday,
right,
all the 7 days, you know, but the bad times are really, really bad. So kind of put a value on some of these experiences,
yeah.
You know, some of the good times were super great. So put a value on that, you know, just because you bicker, you know, once or twice a week, you know, get down granular. What are you bickering about?
Yeah.
You know, is it just because I'm the one getting up at night all the time changing pampers? You know, because that's short-lived. Because at one point, you know, this child don't stop wearing these pampers. So this ain't even going to be a thing to argue about anymore. So I think, you know, we got to get granular with the things that we find, we call bad. You know, what is it?
I mean, I think it goes back again to not having deep roots. You know, to be able to examine, you know, how do I evaluate what's important? How do I put value on something that's not important? Because if we're not valuing one another in our relationships, then how can I stay committed to you? Now, if I don't value or care for you, how can I stay, lack of a better word, you know, in love with you? I don't like the whole phrase in love anyway.
Why don't you like that phrase?
Because I don't know if there's such a thing as being in love. You know, if love is everything, and God is love, and, you know, I don't know. I think we just come up with phrases, oh, I'm in love with you, to make it sound good. Like, right, so, where does that come from?
So what's the phrase then? All right, so I think when people say we're in love with somebody, this is when I, you know, I'm truly, all right, so love, I love you.
Okay, and I love you.
Thank you.
Thank
heart.
You.
I'm for the heart. But I think when people say the in love, that's when you're in like that passionate, romantic type of love. So come up with another word. We can create it.
Well, I guess I look at in love. I'm like, that means it's unconditional. And at what point do you
know
get out of love?
Yeah.
Like I saw my favorite R&B artist is Brahim Bavan. And he says, instead of falling in love, I want to stand in love with you. Like, why do I have to fall? Falling is painful. Who wants to fall? You don't know when you're going to get back up. So why can't I just stand in love?
Okay.
And so here we are. People are, I want to fall in love. No, I don't want to fall. Falling hurts.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get back up. So why can't I just stand?
Okay. That makes sense. But I think we do. I mean, maybe that's a different. Maybe we use love too loosely.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we should. Maybe there's another term for that.
I don't know if there's another term.
Because I think, you know, when you said you fall out of love, I mean, I get where you're going.
Yeah.
And sometimes love shifts. I think love is kind of like that.
So what causes love to shift?
Sometimes it's the shallowness. Like when you're talking about shallow house, okay. Maybe you married this woman and she was shaped like an 8. Now she's shaped like a 0. But you really like the 8. Right. So maybe you're not, you still love her because she's the same girl who does all the things that you like. And right. she's still a sweetheart. But physically, you're not attracted to the shape like a O or shape like a zero anymore because she ain't that eight. You still, what are you now? You still love her, but you ain't, you know, you ain't looking at her salivating and everything like you used to. Well, you probably sleep with your back to her.
Or sleep in another room, right?
Uh-huh, you fall asleep on the sofa.
Well, I think, you know, females look at men like, oh, he's tall, you know, he has these characteristics, and men do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. But I saw this athletic petite woman with a man who was enormous. I mean, he was like Jabba the Hutt, huge.
Okay.
And I said to myself, wow, she must really love him. Because he was walking, his stomach was so big, he couldn't tuck his shirt in. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see the crack in his pants.
He has a plumber.
You know, I don't know what he was. But I just said to myself, because she looked petite and fit, I'm like, she must really love him. I mean, what's going on here? Is he wealthy? I mean, what is going on there? Because obviously what I see.
It wasn't, yeah. You know, I had a guy was talking to me one time on Facebook, and I think that's how we met. We were mutual friends with someone else. And so, you know, I engaged in chat. You know, I'm a chatter. And, you know, he was telling me how, you know, he was going to be my man and stuff.
Mm.
And I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Mm.
That was no threat of that happening.
It's a no threat. She's like, no threat.
And so, you know, I told him that I wasn't physically attracted to him. And for different reasons, right. I wasn't. And I don't want anybody to think I'm shallow, but sometimes it's about the health of a person.
Yes.
Like, you know, the things, and I knew his habits. You know, yes. We had talked about some things. I was like, look, I don't want to be your caregiver.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And you're not doing yes. things.
Yes.
And he told me, he said, well, most small women, you know, because I'm 4'11", they like big guys because they feel safe. I said, I feel safe anyway. You know, so.
He don't know you. Like, he don't know you. Like, maybe 4'11", it's really 7'11".
Right. I'm not afraid.
No.
I'm comfortable. No, you know, no, but no. He said, most women like him, you know, because he is big. And he was like what you described. I mean, he could certainly buy bigger clothes, you know, because his shirt really didn't come down like it was supposed to. And, you know, it's like, nah. But, you know, it was more about, you know, the health. And he was a couple years younger than me. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
I don't think we talk enough about health in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're unhealthy, you know, like, I don't want to be someone's caregiver, nor do I want somebody to be my caregiver. And I want to be able to, you know, come to a relationship, be healthy enough physically, emotionally, and spiritually to make sure our love is going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Because it becomes burdensome when, you know, when your spouse has to take care of you and you can't take care of yourself. You know,
I don't want it to be like I won't do it, but because things happen.
Right.
You know, my husband had a stroke at 41. He was running the day after running a half marathon. And I did it. But when you're not doing the things to help you live a healthier life, you know, you're being reckless and doing a lot of things that, you know, I don't want to do.
Is that not your prerogative, your preference?
Yeah. And I don't know if that makes me shallow.
I don't think so. I think your preference, your prerogative is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like what you like. You know, and I don't think anything's wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I don't have to worry about the man going from an 8 to an 0. Because, you know, I like chunky, you know, just not that. Yeah, but I ain't got to worry about it. You don't know 8 when I met
you. You know, I don't know how we view, I don't think we talk about it. Hey, now, and this is what I said to my sons and my daughters. I said, you have to examine, you know, the lineage, you know, the mother, the father, the sisters. I said, if you don't want someone of a particular body size, you have to, you know, examine that.
Before they go.
You know, my mentor said to me, I'll never forget it. He said, Mr. Henderson, I see that you have a particular type. And he says, you have to make sure that you've met her mother. And then you got to look at her ankles and look at her wrist. And look at her neck. He says, Mr. Henderson, you like to be healthy. You like to stay in, you know, in good shape. So he said, don't exclude that. And I said, Mr. Mill, sir, no one ever said that to me. I didn't know. He says, well, now you do. And I was just blown away that that was okay. Mm-hmm. He said, because if you don't examine that and look at the consequences, then you will go into a relationship completely surprised, and it's not going to last anyway. Mm-hmm. But you have to, you know, take a step back and say, can I be with this person in 25, 30, or 40 years?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this person going to look like? More importantly, is this person going to grow and evolve with you? Because he knew, says Mr. Henderson, you're going to be growing, you're going to be evolved, but you have to find somebody who can evolve and keep up with you.
So not only physical, do you find that, or have you done that, what he says, look at the lineage, and do you find that women are not only physically like their mothers are, but also their behavior is a lot like their mothers? Do you find that?
In some capacity, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I think I'm doing more so now as I've gotten older, and I'm able to convey to my children. Like one thing I realized, something about my mother is like, I have a lot of her ways, and I didn't know I had as many of her ways as I had. Mm. And it plays a part in how I view people in relationships. It's just, and because I didn't have a father, I couldn't balance off, you know, what he did and what he didn't do. But I think you do take on the characteristics, you know, of your parents.
The parent that raised you.
Whether it's your grandmother, uncle, dad, whoever else.
Because I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was talking about his wife, and he's like, she a liar because her mama a liar. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
That's what old folks say.
That's what he said. Yeah. He said her mama a liar, so yeah. I know she a liar. Yeah.
So why marry someone's a liar? Why even, you know, why even engage in that kind of relationship? Especially, you know, if you say, well, I hate a liar. I hate somebody who's a thief, and I hate somebody who lies.
Yeah.
You can kill all you want to, but don't lie and steal.
Don't lie and steal. If people are saying they'd rather, what did it say? I'd rather have a thief than a liar or
right.
something.
That's
you
right.
know. So, yeah, that's what he said. And I was like, how do you know? So, I know people look at it. So, like, okay. So, I'm probably, well, for a long time, I was bigger than my mother, but I think she's past me now a little bit. You know, so people would look at, you know, okay, you probably gonna stay small because my metabolism is still high. Because hey, I don't eat salads too much when we go out. So right. have your black card ready.
I was watching White Girls a week or so ago, and I thought about you. And she was ordering all the food. She was out with you. No, I went to Red. I was mad.
That's right.
I'm like, that's
believable. Yeah, that's right. I'm going.
I want the steak.
Mm-hmm. I want the steak. I want
the
salad. I ate
that's why
I left.
I know, that's right.
That's right. I
covered
the real food. That's right. This morning I woke up cooking. I made everybody breakfast pizza.
Oh, my goodness. See, again, you know, a lot of women these days are not cooking anymore. A lot of women can't cook. I can't tell you how many women I have met. And they don't cook. So what do? I microwave, or I go out, or I DoorDash, or I Uber Eats.
All the time.
I'm like, I don't really have time to cook. And I'm thinking to myself.
But you watch every show that come on.
Oh.
You know everything that come on TV.
Yes. To me, that's strange that women are not, I'm not saying women, as traditional role, women have to cook. But
a lot of them don't. I do find a lot of the men, you know, are doing most of the cooking.
Yeah,
in the households. Right. But you're right. It is a lot of women. I have a lot of girlfriends that
I'm like in their 40s. Yeah. Somebody was like 45 and told me, listen, I can't cook and I don't cook. And I want to say, that's why you ain't got a man.
But that ain't why.
You know, when you say I can't cook, I won't cook, I ain't gonna cook. You better feed yourself. Because a part of winning any person over is with food, male or female. It's a great way to have a great conversation, get to know someone. When you're cooking together, you find out what they like and how they cook. Oh, it's beautiful.
I get yelled at a lot. My daughter gets frustrated because the boys don't have to cook. Now it's cooks because he's vegan and, you know, so he'll prepare his own meals, but they're real simple.
Right.
You know, he ain't no gourmet cook or anything. because she said, I don't teach them. But in fairness, they do know. Because as you know, I wasn't here for 2 years.
Right.
So they ate something.
They ate something.
You know, they made it.
They ain't missing no meals.
They're not missing any meals. They made it. But I like to cook.
See, I think there's a difference between enjoying cooking for your family and someone who, you know, who does not enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
Like, no one taught me, but I recall watching my grandmother cook. And I went to college, you know, we went out to eat. I'm like, well, I cook. I'll try. That's how I learned to cook.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's a different time here. Mm-hmm. Like, my son can't cook. He can't boil water. But he wants to. He's learning.
But he'll learn.
He'll learn.
He can read. Just follow the recipe. All right, we're going to take another break because right now I'm cooking. So I'm going to go check on my oxtails and we're going to be right back.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we're back with Love Wins with Alex and Benita. So this is the 10-minute wrap-up. Well, all right, I got a question. Did you say, you said your mentor said you had a physical type. You had a type.
Yes.
What's the type? For our listeners. Eligible ladies.
What is my type? What do you mean, what's my type?
Your mentor said you had a type. What was he talking about?
I like a particular type of woman.
Let's hear it. She's tall.
She's tall. Yeah, she's tall.
You like long hair.
I do like long hair. Natural hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, natural hair. Oh gosh, I love long hair. And I know where that comes from. My great grandmother, who's Blackfoot tribe, she had hair down her back.
Okay.
And so as a kid, I would plan her hair. Like when her hair was hanging out, I would get behind her and brush her hair for her. Like she used to keep me. I was doing some examination where that came from. And I was like, Mama Four, it was her hair. But she wouldn't let no one touch her hair for me.
Okay.
And you know, as a kid, 4 or 5 years old, she said, boy, grab that brush, come and brush my hair. And so she was watching her soaps, smoking Pall Malls, drink her tab cigarettes. Smoking Pall Malls cigarettes and drink her tab soda and watch her One Life to Live. When I got out of school, I would go behind her and like, brush her hair. And that's where the hair went. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, I like small women. I like athletic. I like women who work out.
Because you like the gym.
Yeah, I like the gym. You know,
everybody else is talking about can't wait till the restaurant open. You like, I can't wait when the gym go open.
I am back in Gold's gym. We're back in there, and like, I'm struggling, but it feels so good to be back.
Okay.
It feels so. It's like I'm. Like
what any extra precautions that they've done?
I mean, with me, I'm wiping down everything. I got my own wipes.
Okay.
You know, I've never wiped down a machine. I always wore gloves anyway.
Okay.
But now I'm wiping my hands down. I'm not touching my face. I'm constantly cleaning my hands.
That's good.
I'm not talking to people. I keep my distance. People don't want to talk to me anyways. I look a certain way in the gym. I get that. That's done intentionally. But, you know, Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
Well, I'm singing. I'm rapping. Listen to my music. I'm not in the gym to socialize. I'm in it to work out and get out.
That's good.
Yeah, it's just I'm not. It's my safe space.
Yeah, a lot of women don't go because they feel like they get hit on, or women go because they get hit on. You know, so I hear that.
Yeah, but I think when you find a woman who's about her, be about in the gym, it's attractive. I got a friend of mine's wife. She works out. It goes back to the whole shadow love thing. She works out. And her hair, she don't care how her hair look. She'll sweat it out. She don't wear no rag. She don't wear nothing. She come in there and she work out. She sweat hard. And I'm like, hey, I said, I see those cuckleberries in the back of your neck. She said, so I don't care.
Cuckleberries.
Cuckleberries. Cuckleberries on the back of your neck.
And she's like, hey, so what? I'm getting my work on, work out on like you.
That's right. And anyway.
And she get it. She get it.
Go ahead, girl.
You know, because oftentimes people use an excuse, well, I got to put a weave in my hair, or I don't want to work out, I don't want to sweat out my perm. She don't care about that. Yeah. She don't care.
Sorry.
I think it's wonderful. And what I love about it, when they come in together, because she worked out harder than him, but when they leave out, it's like he's leaving, she's leaving, and they're leaving out together. I'm like, that's that good love.
That's what you want.
That's that good love. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm working on my matchmaking skills.
Well, I got a picture. Is Sade available or Tracy Ellis Ross? Tracy Ellis Ross, Sade, what's the chick you played on?
Shantae Moore.
She's taken.
Is she?
Yeah, she's taken. You know, I just love Shantae Moore. So growing up, it was Anita Baker, mm-hmm. Sade, and Shantae Moore. Mm, the Sade is, sing to me. What am I saying to me? Let me start tripping. No, I'm not tripping. I'm serious. Sing for me and cook for me. I'm good.
All right. Good singing. Good cook. You like the gym.
No weaves.
Tall, no weaves, natural hair. Natural hair. If you got all that, hit us up on our email, lovewinsellisonbonita@gmail.com. Hey, the Vine Wine Club will pay for the first day.
Yes. Talk to me.
We got you on the first day.
And you can scream them out. You can scream them
out. I can do it because I'm going to know. I already know.
You already know.
Yes, I'm going to know. Because I have to also, because sometimes when you're in, you have these relationships, like these new people who don't know you, because we have this partnership.
Yeah.
You know, people may not, some people don't like that. You know, some people don't.
We're not there.
Right. And so I got to make sure she likes me too.
Yeah. And you know, I thought about this about 2 months ago, that before when I got married, I didn't talk to a lot of my female friends. So a female friend of mine said to me, she says, I'm concerned that when you find somebody, you're not going to talk to me. And I'm like, listen, we're a package deal. Like, if she don't like you, guess what? Her and I can't be together. Right. But I was surprised that she said that. She said, because when you were married, we didn't talk for 18 years because you was with somebody. She said that I miss your dialogue and I need your input, you know, in my own situation.
And so you acknowledge you didn't talk to her.
I did. I was wrong. And I didn't think about it. But, you know, I didn't really think about her. But she valued our relationship. She said, I want you to find somebody. I want you to be happy. But I don't want us to lose our friendship. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that's a deep love for me. But because she said that, I acknowledged it. I'm like, hey, we're good. We're always going to be friends.
That's right. And if the love is not shallow, it should be able to sustain
that with no problem.
That's right.
Because, you know, I think the most intimidating thing for women is to know that a man is surrounded by other women, and they go, because women know women. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Check her out. Let me know if she's the one.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I was telling my cousin, I'm going to bring her to Arizona. She got to get to Richmond first. Mm-hmm. She can make it to Richmond, I bring it to Arizona. She get to Arizona, she can go to Pennsylvania.
She gotta go meet grandma.
Lord have mercy. She may not make it out. She may not make it out.
Save yourself all them plane tickets.
Oh, God.
Take it to see grandma.
Grandma told me she's staying alive until I find the right one. That's what she told me. She's 89.
She gonna hang in there.
I said, dang.
Well.
You stay in the last, I found the right one. Dang.
Come on, Grandma. All right. Well, I'm going to help Grandma out. I don't want her to go anywhere.
Right.
I'm going to help make sure you find the right one. So, listen, thank you all for listening. Thanks for sharing. Go to our Facebook page and like us at the name of the show, Love Wins with Ellison Bonita. Thank you to Big P of the Three Guys Talk and Smack and Listen to Music podcast, which can be found on the Black Talk Radio Network. Thank you, Scott and Reed, for having us in your family. Listen to also Three Guys Talking Smack live stream on Live 365 Radio. Hit us up if you have questions or comments. We're going to do something live real soon. I know I keep saying that, but these weeks go by fast when we're recording. But hit us up at lovewinswithellisonbonita@gmail.com. Let us know any questions, any ideas you have. Feel free when you listen to comment. We want to know what you think, and we're going to read your comments on our subsequent podcast. So again, thank you. Take care. Be safe, and we'll talk with you next week.
Be blessed. Peace and blessings, family.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at Love Wins with Ellis and Benita at gmail.com.